property prices and growth is to be sustained for the near term, according to Oxford Economics. Really, what they are saying is there is going to be capital growth. There is going to be a sustained level of capital growth over the next foreseeable future. Welcome to the Urban Property Investor. I'm your host, Sam Saggers, here to help you crack the code of real estate wealth. Today's show, we're going to look over the horizon. We're going to dig into where the property cycles are at right now. We're going to dig into some forecasts on the what next for Australian real estate. I recently attended an economic forum held by Oxford Economics about navigating Australia's property market, and my mind is blown. Yes. There are some great insights from those particular economists I want to share with you today. So if a macroeconomic journey sounds like you, you've come to the right podcast. And of course, welcome back, regulars. You know the drill. Play me in double speed. Get your life back. But if it's your first time tuning in, well, you've come to the right podcast. But of course, if that macroeconomic journey does not sound like you, you're welcome to go back and check out some past podcasts I've done. They're all primarily lessons on real estate. So if you want your real estate investment fix, if you want to understand the what, the why, and the how of property, then feel free to check out some past podcast episodes I've done. But hey, it's been a while since I've done an economic update, and a big part of my job is really studying markets and understanding where investment potential is. I work primarily with mum and dad property investors, helping them get ahead, but I also work across the residential landscape. Not many people know that I not only work in investments, but I also have businesses which help home buyers secure properties in the real estate marketplace. I spend a lot of my time across my business lines, which involve both tier one luxury real estate investments, primarily helping home buyers tackle those investments, or the more normalized, more affordable investment space, really helping property investors and property savers get ahead by securing the right investment. So for me, going along to economic forums, it's really part of my day job, just understanding where economics is, where property prices are headed, and of course, where the market cycles are at. And one recent, I guess, forum I went to held by Oxford Economics was, as I said, absolutely mind-blowing, because their predictions are very, very, very strong when it comes to the what next for Australian real estate. And really, a lot of what they showcased is ultimately that Australia's housing market is just fundamentally undersupplied. When you think about underlying demand, dwelling completions, and a excess of stock deficiency, the challenge for Australia right now is just not enough real estate. And of course, dwelling completions are also right now going down. We are in a period of time where there's just not enough construction unfolding. And of course, this has meant that really it's not until 2029 that really the data is showing an improvement on more product delivery and more product completions. You can pick up just about any newspaper in the country and you'll find similar articles that Australia now is almost at a hopeless state of producing real estate which mathematically works. And of course, new dwelling supply is just completely out of whack. And of course, this is creating stress on the rental market, and we are just coming out of a low whereby there has been less than two adults living in a house together or a dwelling together. That should be much higher. And of course, what is now happening is you're getting couples teaming up with other couples having to go rent properties because there isn't enough rental properties on the market to ultimately have your own private rental. So we're seeing really the substitution effect unfold inside the rental market, where really the next phase is really your properties that you potentially are putting out to market, you're going to get very high rents for, because you're not having one income families wanting that rental property. You may even have two young people, that two couples choosing to apply for that rental. And really, I call it the Londonification of Australian real estate. When I was living in London some 30 years ago, I lived with another couple in a two-bedroom apartment. It was very common for two couples to share at that period of time, and that was kind of 30 years ago. So we are going through this in Australia. The higher cost of living is flowing through to household density. We're going to see rental properties densify as more people need space, more people need a roof over their head. But equally, the report or the forum was very buoyant on unemployment remaining low. And of course, what this is going to result in is real wage growth returning. It's fair to say the last decade was a lost decade of wage growth. The current decade, wage growth is going to unfold. And again, all of that is going to create a little bit of stickiness when it comes to inflation, because if there's more people, more money in people's back pocket, you typically get a stickier inflation rate as spending unfolds. And of course, it's no hiding the fact that we have had the biggest population surge in 2023 unfolding and rolling into 2024 of ever in the Australian history. We've never had more people come to Australia, put it that way, from net overseas migration. Obviously, it's going to curtail a bit, but it's going to end up in a place where it is still a continuous high compared to the previous peaks taking out 2023. So you can go back to when Australia was typically putting a net migration intake of around sort of circa, 300 odd thousand people. And we're just going to be shy of that number moving forward, which is a big number. And hence why you see all sorts of political conversations today around, well, do we really need just so many more people coming into Australia? Is really that the only business model Australia has? So I'll leave that up to the political, geniuses to work out what's right and what's wrong. But I have done some shows on that of recent time myself. But just going over this information and relaying it to you as a property investor, these are big, big, big signals that we are going to see another surge in prices. And of course, when we look at interstate migration, there are clear winners. The clear winner at the moment is Western Australia and Queensland. They are getting all of the localized migration. Really, New South Wales is the one marketplace where ultimately people are leaving. But of course, New South Wales gets propped up by ultimately new arrivals. So whichever way you look at it, everyone's growing. Every state has got population growth, but certainly Western Australia is out in front when it comes to per capita increase of people. And of course, you see a correlation when there is localized migration in property market growth. Without question, Perth and Brisbane are getting some great property market growth at this point. But the big question for Oxford Economics was, when will rate cuts unfold? And according to them, it is expected in Q4 2024. So the last quarter of this year, they are hedging that rates will drop. And of course, there is a period of time where the interest rate rollback will unfold. And according to them, we will see 1.75 basis points cut from the cash rate. So that's a big drop off from where we are today, going back to really a period of, yeah, stability ahead when it comes to the cost of money. But what that's going to do is push a price on the real estate marketplace. Obviously, when rates go down, people have more access to capital, people have more access to servicing, and ultimately, we will see price growth off the back of rate cuts. So in some respects, we're almost in a very, very good buying marketplace right now where rates are still quite high because there's still opportunities out there. But if we were to look at the median dwelling price across the current report, which ends at March 2024, we can see Sydney's median value, 1.26 million. That's a combined dwelling, houses, townhouses, units. Melbourne, 900,000. Brisbane, 888,000. Adelaide, 752. Perth, 706. Canberra, 824. They're the combined capital cities of the big capitals. So we can see to get into those markets at a median level, you've got to fork out some cash. And of course, if there was a price push on those medians, geez, it's going to get even tougher for people to be a property investor. And of course, that's the challenge, isn't it? To get into the market and obviously be part of the market before you're ultimately priced out of the marketplace. Obviously, there were some signals if rates go up and the fixed rate period of where people borrowed money in a low rate environment basically ended, we would have a mortgage cliff. And this has turned out to be a bit of a furphy. The mortgage cliff never unfolded. And of course, because of that aggregate mortgage stress being mitigated, there hasn't been this run of properties join the marketplace to balance supply versus demand. And I was always, you know, not a fan of pumping up the mortgage cliff, because I felt like the fact that people fixed on low rates meant they could save more money so they could face the mortgage cliff. It was kind of an oxymoron to say that, well, someone had a 3-year fixed rate at 1%, 2%. Well, they're going to be saving a lot of money to then join the marketplace where they basically had a variable rate much higher. But of course, they would have a little bit more money in their back pocket. So mortgage arrears is still very, very low, less than 1%. To give you an idea, when the GFC unfolded in the United States of America off the back of predatory housing loans, the mortgage arrears rate was 14% of all property loans. Today, we are less than 0.6%. So we are nowhere near the stress levels needed to cause a surge of real estate coming back on the marketplace. And of course, today, households are even making extra repayments on their mortgages. That spiked at the end of last year. So we can see even from a debt level, households are controlling debt. Arguably, some of these signs will relay to the Reserve Bank, and maybe you'll get a stickiness of interest rates staying put a lot longer, because these are really healthy signs of the economy. And of course, when you track Australian real estate, it's following a very similar pattern to the United States, countries in Europe like Netherlands, Norway, tracking very similar to Canada, which is another high migration, high growth country, tracking very similar to New Zealand as well. And so we can see that there is a correlation of really advanced economies seeing house price recovery after the end of COVID. So property prices and growth is to be sustained for the near term, according to Oxford Economics. Really, what they are saying is there is going to be capital growth. There is going to be a sustained level of capital growth over the next foreseeable future. And of course, this is a challenge for property investors because property investment often needs affordability for investment to unfold. Property investment ultimately is extra servicing for people, quite often above their own principal pace of residence. And of course, if you've got a median price of $1.2 million in Sydney and your budget is $600,000, it means you are priced out of the marketplace. And of course, I've been on record saying that property investment may not exist by the end of the decade as property investors are effectively put out of business. Now, I run a property investment business, and I'm saying that there potentially won't be a business for me that exists in 2030 because of the end of affordability of Australian real estate. So I take it very seriously as to the fact that price growth ultimately is great for investors, but for businesses like mine, it ultimately makes it very, very difficult to find investors to invest. And I'm on record saying I think by the end of the decade, there will be a real challenge when it comes for property investors to supply the marketplace of housing. It's already a problem now. Now, when it comes to, I guess, increased affordability or increased unaffordability, it's going to continue to unfold over the next 3 years, all the way up to 2027. I guess what could happen is lenders could play with how money works, the length of a home loan. That may allow for further investment into 2029, but it's probably going to have to come at a policy level because really Australian real estate is expensive now. But according to Oxford Economics, during the rate cut period, prices are going to increase by a national further 14%. Wow, that's huge. That's blowing my mind. So a property today, which is circa $700,000, you add 14% to that, that takes that property basically to $800,000. That's what it's going to cost. You're going to see $100,000 put on a $700,000 property. So for those that haven't invested, according to the forum, it is a last chance growth opportunity over the next couple of years to make a run on the real estate marketplace. Now, of course, a lot of this is going to be underpinned by income growth. Oxford Economics has put out that really over the next 5 years, there's going to be some great income growth. And of course, that obviously correlates with where inflation is quite sticky. So there is some good signs as to what is unfolding. But if we break it down as to what next for the different marketplaces, if we were to look at the capital cities individually, Sydney obviously is unaffordable at the moment. But if you can get into the market, it's going to have some decent amount of capital growth. It's got a pretty good forecast for capital growth. Again, all off the back of low supply of stock. Melbourne is the marketplace which probably has the best value in it because it actually has gone down in value. And of course, that means you're buying below the peak of the last marketplace right now when it comes to Melbourne. Eventually, Oxford Economics has the marketplace starting to really rise mid-2025, going up in value when it comes to its cycle dynamic. And again, probably there's a year of good buying left in the Melbourne marketplace before you get that uplift in value which you're looking for from the Melbourne marketplace. Brisbane, obviously, getting a lot of heat at the moment, particularly with the Brisbane Olympic Games providing a boost. And we probably will see another mid-decade boost off the back of really the adoption of public works programs to get venues upgraded. And of course, all of this is going to put pressure on the jobs market and the wage market. And of course, it's going to allow for interstate migration. People don't generally migrate unless they're retiring or there's a job waiting for them. And of course, the Brisbane Olympics is going to create a lot of jobs. So there's going to be a lot of work. So there's going to be a lot of migration. So if you were to look at the forecast cycle pattern, there's growth now, then it sort of curtails, but then it regrows in the sort of 2026-27 era, which is pretty good. When it comes to South Australia, dwelling completions will reach basically their record in 2024, and then we should start to see a modification of sustainable growth in the Adelaide marketplace. But according to Oxford Economics, Perth property market really does have the strongest fundamentals at the moment. It's got some big growth in store over the next couple of years. In fact, all markets have growth in store over the next couple of years. But with the migration favouring Perth at the moment, with the lower average price in Perth, it's getting a lot of interest when it comes to the what next for price movement. So it's good news for anyone investing in the Perth economy. The Perth population growth is now running at record levels. And of course, you know, when it comes to the activation of real estate in Perth, you know, it was a bit of a hermit kingdom during the COVID period. People couldn't leave. That left a lot of money in the economy. And now we're starting to see that certainly because of the less affordable markets, you know, reaching a certain price, people starting to navigate to that marketplace. And of course, when we look at the Canberra marketplace, it's always a pretty good, consistent performer when it comes to where to next for Australian real estate. So the crazy part is if we go back to the median dwelling price growth between 2025 and 2029, Sydney goes from that 1.2 odd million to 1.6 million. It goes up a lot. Now, percentage-wise, it's not the most, but dollar-wise, it is. And this is, again, some of the reasons why percentages don't mean everything in real estate. Sometimes you can measure things in dollars as well. Melbourne gets a cumulative growth on dwellings of 29%, Sydney 27%. Median of Melbourne goes from that 900 to closer to $1.2 million. And again, these are big, big numbers over really a short period of time, the next sort of 5 years. Brisbane goes from that 880 to 1.14. Big numbers, 27% capital growth. Adelaide, still big numbers, 24%. The median house price, according to Oxford Economics, by 2029 will be $939,000. That's unfathomable to wow, that's huge. If these statistics are accurate, by 2029, it'd be almost impossible to be a property investor if you've got a limited budget. And again, I'm in the business of helping people make money out of real estate. So I'm just, you know, these numbers blow my mind as I watch, you know, the difficulty to run and navigate an investment property and business unfold. Perth, big numbers, closer to 40% capital growth, which is big on dwelling values, taking the Perth market once again above the Adelaide market, making it the fourth most expensive real estate market in the country, being, the fifth most expensive real estate market in the country, being over $1 million. So if you wanted to rank it by price, it would go Sydney at 1.6, Melbourne at basically 1.2, Brisbane at 1.13, Canberra above Brisbane at one. No, let's start again. Wow, this is difficult. Difficult on the podcast, I'll tell you, easier on a slide deck. 1.6 Sydney, 1.2 Melbourne, 1.139 Brisbane, 1,046 Canberra, 1,017 Adelaide, and 939,000 for Adelaide. Jeez, I got there. I don't even know if that sounded right. Obviously, the rental market is going to have very, very low vacancies. We may have starting to see by the end of sort of 2025, the end of that sort of rental growth phase, probably where people just simply can't afford to spend more on that sort of median house rental growth. It will be more sustainable. It won't be skyrocketing like it's been doing over the last couple of years. We still will get rental growth, but it won't be, the $400 a week uplift like some properties have had during the last period of time. I know personally, I've seen a lot of my clients, myself, put up rents an astonishing amount. So big growth forecast, folks. That's the news from the Economic Forum. So I think don't sit on the fence. Some pretty incredible trends you can follow when it comes to Australian real estate. You got the rise of the millennial, the rise of the outer suburbs. You've obviously got the rise of the Sunbelt places, lifestyle areas, the blue belt areas where there's, you know, good lifestyle amenities. You've got those 3 and 4 bedroom homes in vogue with families starting out in the millennial economy. You've got the rise of the intergenerational wealth transfer that is unfolding. Wealthier families are helping their kids buy in cash today. These are all pushing real estate values up. You've got obviously, the big flight to affordability unfolding, those affordable neighborhoods, which ultimately are the beneficiary of just how challenging it is to get a home loan. Right now, still, we've got the rental hunger games unfolding. One of the team reported that they saw 72 people at an open home down in Melbourne last weekend. That is an incredible amount. It really is disturbing. You've got the rise of really multi-generational households forming where, you know, people today are going to hold on to real estate a lot longer, putting less real estate on the market, meaning less resales, less turnover of stock. I run a residential real estate agency and I can tell you there are no listings about right now to take to the owner-occupier market. It's one of my business lines and it's, you know, it is very, very difficult out there. I'll tell you that right now. There's not a flurry of stock around. So building approvals at a 13-year low, these are incredible signs as to why perhaps Oxford Economics is going to be accurate with their growth forecast. These are big growth numbers when it comes to where things are at. Sydney median house is going to go from 1.3 to 1.9. Melbourne from 915 to 1.3. 3. Brisbane, 895 to 1.21. Adelaide, 775 to 950. Perth, 707 to 1 million. Hobart's in there, 700 to 860. Canberra, 951 to 1.17. Even good old Darwin coming up in value. And of course, when it comes to their unit prediction, Sydney at 807 to 1,000,009. Melbourne, big jump on units, 612 to 780. Brisbane, 600 to 710. Adelaide, 542 to 690. Big jump there. Perth, 479 to 640. Wow, some big numbers. Canberra, 607 to 750. These are the median price forecasts for houses and units, not combined dwellings. So as you can see, folks, I don't know. You can hedge to sit on the fence, or you can make a move based on this growth forecast. I'd be throwing some money into the real estate market if you can get your hands on some. All right, folks, that's it from me. Hope that was helpful. Catch you on the next episode as we talk more real estate. Thanks for tuning in to the Urban Property Investor. To never miss an episode, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite app or on YouTube. I would love it if you could give the show a rating and share it with your friends and family. In between episodes, you can always keep in touch with me by connecting on social media over Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Until we meet again on the next episode of the Urban Property Investor, take care and bye for now.